In today's Mishnah, we learn the 8th and 9th Mishnah, the 3rd Perek of Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah begins, Lo Yoshev Betzilah, one should not sit under the shade of an Asher tree. Here we're not talking about directly under the branches, you see why it's important in a minute. But you can imagine in the sun's in the afternoon, and it casts a long shade, and someone sitting in the shade of that tree, one's not allowed to do so. V'im Yashav, if he did sit in the shade of it, then he is Tahor. Then he does not become Tameh. Because he's not sitting under the tree itself. However, v'lo yavor tachta, one should not pass underneath the branches of an asherah, v'imavar, and if he did so, then he would be tamer. The Gemara explains why it would be tamer. That is because anything was offered in front of this avodah zarah, which is likely to be, or there's certainly a strong concern that there would still be under this tree, is metame b'ohel, meaning it transfers tumah to anything that's under the same covering. And being under the tree, by virtue of being under the tree, you'll be under the same covering as this tikrovet avodah zarah that is likely still there. Hatag gozelet et harabim. If, however, this branch, this asher tree, is covering the public's street, the avar tachtav, and the person on his way to work happened to go underneath it, then he would be tahor. He would not become tameh. Why? Because this tuma is only, as we said, mid derabanan, is rabbinic, out of concern that there was be a tikrovet avodah zarah underneath it. And in a situation where it's preventing the public thoroughfare, then we say the Chachamim did not apply a gzeirah. So here, Kati points out that if there's no other way, I mean, this is the only way to get to work, then even the Chachila want to be able to go with full knowledge, be able to walk underneath this tree. Vezorin tachteha yerakot b'yamot hagshamim, that one is able to plant vegetables in the winter, in the rainy season, in the shade of this asherah tree. Why? Because the shade itself during the wintertime is actually not beneficial to it. But not in the summer. Again, we're not talking about directly underneath, we're talking about the shade that it gives at a distance from the branches, meaning not directly underneath the tree. But why not in the gemot chama? Because then he's getting benefit from this asherah tree because of the shade it's affording these vegetables during the, or whatever he's planting there, during the summer. V'hachazrin, this refers to chazer, like lettuce, which says, lo b'yamot chama v'lo yomot gshamim, whether it's summer or winter, the shade is beneficial to them, so therefore it shouldn't be planted there. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Yossi says, one second, af lo yerakot b'yamot gshamim, if you're already going to prohibit the summer, you should prohibit vegetables in winter as well. Why? That the leaves that fall from the tree will begin to decompose and they'll actually act as manure and be beneficial also to the vegetables. Now, Rabbi Yossi really permits this anyway, meaning he's of the opinion of a zev azagorem. If you've got multiple contributing factors, for example, these leaves and the ground itself, then it'll be mutar. However, as we saw previously, for example, Rabbi Yossi Mishneh Gimel says you can grind up the avodah zarah and cast it to the wind. However, Rabbi Yossi is saying, according to your opinion, that you hold ze veze gorem asur, that even if it's a partnering contributing factor, not the sole contributing factor, that it would be asur, then you should also prohibit it in the winter as well. However, Chachamim say that in the winter it is actually not considered a gorem at all, it's not even beneficial at all, because any benefits you're going to get from these leaves is actually going to be detracted from the fact that it's situated in its shade. Let's now learn Mishnah Tet. Natal mimeno eitzim. If someone took some wood from this asherah tree, we say the asurim hana, you know, I'd drive any benefit, as we know. What happens if he's sick behena tanur, if you use it to fire as a fuel for an oven? He says, im chadash, if we're dealing with a new oven that has not yet been fired up, yet the fire has been lit inside it, the fact that you're lighting a fire is it really finishes a kli, and from that point onwards, it's really all the benefit has come, or a contributing benefit has been the fact that we use this asherah tree. A wood from the asherah tree was when you're not allowed to drive any benefit, so therefore you tuts. There's nothing you can do, the tanur itself becomes asubah na. Importantly, again, this is according to the opinion that zeh vazeh gorem is asur, because again, forbidden wood is a contributing factor. It's not the sole factor, but the contributing factor in the construction of this tanur that is forever going to be allowing this oven to be used, and therefore one's not allowed to drive any benefit. However, im yashan, if I were dealing with a ready-made oven, it's already old, and someone uses asherah wood, then yutsan. Simple, all you should do is wait for it to cool down so you're not driving any benefit from the wood. And then once it's cooled down, then there's no residual benefit in this tanur. What's interesting here, Kati points out, halacha is zev azegor mutar, that if you've got two contributing factors, then it would be mutar, and then even if you used it to fuel a new oven, it would still be fine. Afa bo et apat, what happens if you're dealing with this oven that was fueled in its first instance with this asherah wood, and you've baked bread in it? You say, asur ba'ana'a, one's not allowed to drive any benefit from the bread as well. So nit arva. What if that bread got mixed up with other bread, bacherot, then kulan asurot ba'ana. Then we say that all the loaves of bread will be asur with ana. Because once you've got the isur ana associated with idol worship, it's asur b'mashu, even a small amount, and laws of bittul do not apply. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you're lichana le'yam ha-melech. What you can do is you can simply look at the value, the monetary value of the benefit that was contributed by this asherah wood, then you can just cast that value into the yam ha-melech. So here we're dealing with an oven that was fueled with asherah wood, not necessarily in the first instance, it could be even in the later instances as well, that it wasn't yet cooled down, so you've derived benefit. So then what you simply do is, how much asherah wood did I do, what was the value that contributed, take that value and throw it in the yam ha-melech. What's interesting here, the machlok and the rishonim, regarding what is the debate. Are we talking about only when it's mixed up with other loaves? Or there's another opinion that says even if the bread itself was cooked and you can identify which bread it was cooked, according to Rebbe Eliezer, you'd simply be able to take the money or the value that was contributed by this Isur Hana and cast it in HaMelech. Amru lo chachamim, said Rebbe Eliezer, said no, ein pidyon l'avodah zarah. You cannot redeem the prohibited value that was contributed by avodah zarah, and therefore it's not like kodshim, you can start redeeming it, or ma'aser sheni, so therefore the whole thing's asur. Now, talamenu, let's say someone took from an asherah tree a kar, which is basically created a meal from this wood from the tree, and then used it to weave. And we say, well, firstly, the needle itself is asur ba'ana. If you used to weave a beged, a garment, then the beged, similarly, just like in the case of baking bread, is also asur ba'ana. Nit arav ba'achirim, if that garment got mixed up with other garments, v'acharim b'acharim, we say kulan asur ba'ana. They'd all be asur ba'ana, much like the bread loaves that got mixed with other bread loaves. Because again, this isur ba'ana is asur even b'mashu, the smallest amount is not batel. Once again, Rebbe Eliezer says, in that situation, you're lichana liyam ha-melech. Either we're referring to the benefit contributed by the piece of wood, or the asur beged, according to the Rambam, that is mixed up with other begadim. Look at that hana'a, and then simply see how much is that beged. How is that one asur beged worth? I'll simply take the money, throw it to yam ha-melech, and then it's fine. Once again, Chachamim disagree, say, eid pidyon el avodah zarah. Now, why do we need to bring both cases? Well, it's to show the limits of this debate. Because in the first case, the Isur Hana'a is not really discernible. It's very difficult to identify the benefit that was contributed by the Asherah in the case of the bread. In the second case, it says it's Be'ein. It's much more visible, the contribution that the Asherah made. And therefore, the Mishnah had to bring both these cases to show Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer arguing both situations. So the Mishnah today.